Hi guys, so we have a very special guest here, Alex Brown. So Alex is behind of the some of the best and like fastest growing subscription businesses. He was, right? So you don't work like with those businesses anymore,
not
right?
Anymore,
but
you, no.
But he has like he's so like knowledgeable in basically structuring the subscription businesses properly, and I think this is one of the like big kind of like opportunities for every business to implement subscription on some level.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Alex?
So I think it's very much romanticized, the subscription, because you know, subscription companies are worth more. Investors love to see subscription. I don't think it's a fit for everyone.
Okay.
I think that there's some businesses that do upsells really well and packages really well. I think it depends on whether you're maybe in one of those. Mm-hmm. It's certainly worth testing subscriptions, depending on your industry. But sometimes, like if you have a heavy product to ship or a consumable product that your customers might end up stacking up, they might get too much of it. Sometimes it might be better to send them a bundle. So, as you know, most of marketing is like testing and then seeing what the stick rate is. So, I think it's great to test both. But subscription just always isn't always the answer, unfortunately. And it's tough to do sometimes to get people to subscribe and stick, and it's all about retention.
So is subscription typically done as like an upsell, or it's kind of like one of the options on the product page where you just choose like subscribe and save? What's the best way to kind of like implement?
Again, depends on the business. So I've seen it done really successfully both ways. Like with Beard Club, when we started, we actually just offered a subscription. But what we did was we had a flat shipping fee of $3.99.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to order one product, you were paying $3.99 shipping, say for maybe a dollar product. It didn't make sense. So people would order more products. They would naturally upsell themselves. Right? So we forced everybody into subscriptions. What we found, though, is that for people that had never used Beard products before, which is most people, people that weren't really educated on or experienced with the product, they didn't know what to pick, and they didn't know if they wanted a subscription. So that we figured, you know, it might be good to offer a gift option for people to buy gifts or one-time purchases, like sort of bundles. So then we started to combine the two. And on our main site, we offered only subscription, but we did little mini sites based on the kits and sort of landing pages and tested out both. And for some crews or some crowds, it worked better for subscription. Others was bundles. I've seen other companies do really well. One that I was just hanging out with, Taro, who's one of the founders of Four Sigmatic, and they do a really interesting approach where they have sort of a cancellation fee, right? So you see this all the time, subscribe and save. And what they do is, you know, if you cancel early, then they'll charge you a subscription fee, which will like bump your products up. Because a lot of people, and we saw this too with Dollar Beard Club, was they never intended to be subscribers. They just wanted a one-time purchase, or they just want, especially when you say see subscribe and save, they're like, I just want the discount. So they do that and then they unsubscribe. And what that does is it screws all of your data up.
Oh, wow.
Because then you think that your churn is a lot higher, but meanwhile, these people just wanted a discount. Right, so there's different tactics you can use to get around that, and one is this sort of like subscription penalty. I don't think they actually do charge the penalty, but it's enough to say that, hey, like this is why you're getting a discount, because you're ordering multiple times, and then having sort of, you know, some sort of penalty or you know, consequence for actually backing out on that.
And so from your, so you're observing like this whole like marketplace right now. You work with some of the biggest, like fastest growing brands. So like from your perspective, do you see that still like a viable model, like selling like low ticket product basically, right? With current costs of like advertising, et cetera. So is it still, could that still be profitable front end, or this could be only like leveraged and calculated with lifetime value and kind of like you need venture capital to jumpstart this?
It's a really good question. I've kind of seen different results all over the place. Obviously, having a margin and being profitable on your first order is awesome. But you know, in our case, we were able to get people to stick around for a couple of orders, so we could outspend our competitors who weren't on subscription, right? And it made up for some of our lower margin products. That said, I think that there are a lot of companies that do this sort of venture capital thing where they're like, hey, we're not going to make any money. We're going to raise a bunch of money. And then we're going to buy a bunch of customers. I think, you know, it can potentially be both. I would encourage people to find something that's like a really unique product with a high margin to do subscription. But they're like, at any rate, subscription is all about retention, right? And same with like one-time purchases. Retention is really important. If you have a good brand, if you have like loyal customers, they'll buy from you again, right? Which is amazing. That's profit, right? And even if you're just emailing them or you're doing a little bit, you're remarketing to them, like that's way more profitable than going and spending money to get a new customer, right? So even with non-subscription businesses, that's important, but especially with subscription, if you have these, like the lower margin products that you were talking mm-hmm. about, you got to keep people around for longer, right? So you got to take care of your customers. It's mm-hmm. got to be a good experience, and you got to build a community. And I think that's the secret to any business, but especially mm-hmm. a subscription business with the lower margins.
And do you see like some maybe like emerging products that like, because you've been in this, like in this subscription like model, you see different things that can be done. Like, do you see any products specifically or any niches that can kind of like underuse it or that could leverage it more?
I mean, I think that there are a lot of opportunities out there that mm-hmm. are yet to be tapped. When I find one, I'll let you know and we can go into business together. I think like, I will say what I think doesn't work, and uh-huh. that is, I think like the whole subscription box thing is kind of, I don't want to say it's done, okay. but I think that people approach the subscription
like
box from...
Like Birch box, right?
Yeah, stuff like that. I think they might approach it from the wrong angle in a lot of times, because people, having started the dollar club thing, and like
yeah,
the club
yeah.
thing, they're like, I want to do dollar this club or
yeah.
this club and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But really the only value proposition they have is delivering stuff every month. Which isn't really that valuable. People can buy their own stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you either have to have like a really amazing curation system, like products that you can't find anywhere else that you're finding. Or you have to be able to offer like some sort of really big discount,
mm-hmm.
right, in order for it to be worth it. And that's what we did. We cut the price of the beard market in half, right? And we started offering products, you know, at a fraction of the price
mm-hmm.
that other people were doing it to make it more affordable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this made it harder with margins
to afford,
right? But we did something different to catch people's attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think what doesn't work is just thinking that you can create a subscription box
uh-huh.
just around an interest area with no other value proposition other than delivering it.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people want to start a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying those can't be successful,
uh-huh.
but I think you have to be really creative and you need a hook. Whether
mm-hmm.
that's like super good prices or finding products that no one else would find anywhere.
So then it's still about like your unique competitive advantage.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what a brand is, right?
Mm-hmm. And then so there's like membership, like clubs and stuff, you know, that is sold kind of like as partially information,
yeah.
right? Partially maybe some products that are shipped like on a monthly basis. What's your opinion about those?
I mean, I think that those are really interesting opportunities,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it sort of combines info marketing and
mm-hmm.
product marketing. And one can add value to the other.
Yeah.
And I always advocate if you have an e-commerce brand and it's around a specific interest or
mm-hmm.
subject matter, the brand exists to solve a problem,
yeah.
that you have a lot to say about that problem. So you should want to have like a media channel component to your business anyway. Right?
Yeah.
So you see it as this like this media channel, this own personality that you promote all this free content.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also create, gated, more expensive content, whether that's like people that are super influential or really
mm-hmm.
Really informative in your space,
mm-hmm.
and you can absolutely add that layer of paid content in, and
uh-huh.
those people are going to be like super customers for your product. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe a bit of a balancing act, but
uh-huh.
that is an absolutely amazing opportunity. And I'm seeing it happen in a couple different areas,
uh-huh.
and I think the potential is huge if you can really hit the nail on
like
the head.
Like Trial Levelin, right? He's, Trial Levelin. Like
yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of like... or I think digital marketers, Perry Belcher, I think some of their projects.
Yes, the content and commerce
mm-hmm.
sort of like angle. It's really like, it's really powerful, really important to look
mm-hmm.
into.
Cool. So what are like the major trends you're seeing like overall with like marketing, with paid acquisition, like what's happening and what's basically the direction it all goes?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, so it seems like there's thousands of new Facebook marketers and Instagram marketers
yeah.
coming out every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's never been easier to
yeah.
launch a Facebook ads account. There's so much training, there's so
yeah.
many resources available, right? So that's good if you aren't in business.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in business, it means that you've got all these people that are just starting out that are, basically trying to get the same eyeballs that you're trying to get
yeah.
access to, right? So the big trend that everyone's really talking about is it's getting harder to sell things to people. Because not only are there more people advertising,
mm-hmm.
but the people that are advertising things aren't necessarily doing it right. Maybe the products aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting burned by different things. So it's kind of a really competitive, tough landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the cure to that is not some like magic secret or magic
mm-hmm.
trick. I think it's just, looking to build a long-term business and a really great brand
mm-hmm.
around a value proposition, around a subject matter that you care about,
okay.
that you can be really passionate about,
mm-hmm.
that you can find other people that are passionate about it, and really like putting the energy into creating that brand that will like, people will talk about that. You'll get organic reach.
Okay.
Like, you kind of get past.
It's kind of like a sense of community.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that goes into building a brand, and Addis just had a great chat, or a great talk about that. Mm-hmm. Ezra Firestone's really great at talking about that. Yeah. I talk about like building a brand. And that, I think, is really like, I don't think it's a trend. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever going to, you know, expire. Mm-hmm. But building a real business around something that you care mm-hmm. about, or a group of people really care about, that's and the absolute key, in my opinion.
Yeah, even like your Alex Brown, another Alex Brown.
Other
so
Alex
we
Brown, yeah.
we had a conversation as well, and he mentioned, so they're very like direct response company.
Yeah.
Like being as profitable as possible, yep. you know, good funnels and everything. But they're making this shift right now. And one of their priorities is to build like this more like long-term brands.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing like you're saying about this, like, I mean, these guys are saying about this. So, I mean, obviously it probably makes a lot of sense.
And, yeah. And I think that's the direction that, you know, e-commerce is heading. There are a lot of people that get introduced to e-commerce mm-hmm. with dropshipping and Amazon businesses and affiliate marketing. But at a certain point, I think, they realize that there's more longevity and greater enterprise mm-hmm. value and potentially a greater payoff in the long term by mm-hmm. building a brand, because, you know, it might take longer to go, but it mm-hmm. goes bigger. But also it feels good. It's more fulfilling. You're doing mm-hmm. something that's more than just selling something for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You're building something you care about. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We want to have fun.
When
we want to care about what we do. And it's very cliche to say like, oh, follow your dreams and do stuff that's fulfilling.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very true. You got to care about what you do, or else eventually you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
Because you got to put a lot of work into things. Mm-hmm. And, in my opinion, it's really important to love what you do.
What do you think about the model of, like, Lady Boss?
In terms of what?
Like, in terms of, like, getting people inside of the, like, it's more like information, like different resources, and then upselling them physical products.
Again, like, very similar to the point about, you know, selling content and creating content. I mm-hmm. think it's a great way to build a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great way to build an audience around a brand and then be able to select different products to sell to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, some people are product people. They love product.
Yeah.
Start with the product. Mm-hmm. That's what they care about. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there are people that are more brand focused. So that's mm-hmm. like the why, like why are we building this? And then who is like who you're doing for. So mm-hmm. it's like, I always ask the question, why do you exist? Who is this for? And what are you doing for them?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask those questions again and again,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes this cycle by which you can actually build a brand. You can create multiple products,
okay.
like the what can mm-hmm. change, the what can be content, it can be different mm-hmm. products that you launch. The who can change, you can identify new people within the Lady Boss.
Okay.
You know, there might be like smaller
sub-niches
uh-huh. that can have like this great new product. And then why you do it, you can get like stronger and stronger. But it's not just about empowering women for business, it's about empowering women in general, and then giving back to women in general, and mm-hmm. helping educate women in different countries. Like, so you can expand it and just keep asking those questions, and I think that's how you get
cool. So it's similar to what like Molly Pitman, like different like avatars for different like, so your audience might not be just like your like single audience, it might be like different like segments of people.
Exactly. And the one thing I will add to that, in the best way, I think, to get clearer on those three things
mm-hmm.
is to talk to the people that are buying from you.
Okay.
Because if you talk to somebody that's had a very good experience with your brand or a mm-hmm. very bad experience, either one of those things can teach you a lot about what it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
why people are really interested in it, mm-hmm. how that made them feel, because then you can make better messaging, like better marketing, you can create better products.
Mm-hmm.
So. As your business grows, we all tend to get more and more separated from our customers.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you all of a sudden you have 10,000 customers a month.
Yeah.
It's different if it's just like, you know, your mom
and your dad.
And like, you know, you get very disconnected from them at scale, right? So I always encourage people to reconnect with their customers and to do that regularly and just
mm-hmm.
create that sort of dialogue. And you'd be very surprised at like the kind of inspiration you can get, the kind of direction that you can
mm-hmm.
get from that. And it's free.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, Alex. Thank you very much.
Dude,
pleasure
so
connecting
much,
with you, learning from you. Looking forward to seeing you. I mean, I'm sure you'll do some amazing things with your subscription.
Likewise, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank
the
you, man. Yeah, thank you.
Take care.